Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Everybody, Sunday Night Fights Live, SoCal MMA's number one podcast. And with that said, let's get the Intercontinental Champ of MMA Talk Radio on with us right away, Mr. Ray Lopez. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. How's everybody out there doing? How you doing today, Skippy?
Man, it's a beautiful day. It's starting to look like it's going to thunderstorm now, but you know, I guess I'm doing better than you guys down in Cali. Half you guys are drought. The other half, you guys are getting earthquakes.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, the earthquake, it was up in Northern Cali. In fact, one of our guests, Matt Bestholt, was his first earthquake since he moved to Cali. So, you know, we'll get his views on that a little later. But, man, this drought is horrible. I mean, when we went up to Itachi for the fight a couple weeks ago, you know, there all these, you know, these orchards, and you know, where you normally you'd see, you know, all kinds of fruit growing, people picking the fruit, had signs, no water, no work. It's horrible. And, you know, and then everybody's doing that ice bucket challenge and just wasting water.
Yeah. I love the fact that people are trying to raise money for such a great cause, but just donate the money, man. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I want people to help. I mean, I keep getting nominated, and you know what I did? I gave a gym bag and $300 worth of gear inside the brand new gym bag to a local gym that has a youth nonprofit program for, you know, a lot of the kids in there are ex-gang members or ex-drug addict kids. So, you know, they're trying to build them up through martial arts. So I donated gear to them instead, because everybody keeps hitting me up with that ice bucket challenge. I'm going to tell you what, two times I've been hit on it, and two times I gave a bag to a gym. The second gym is Reckless MMA out of Longview, Washington. So, you know, look, I donate. I want people out there to donate to whatever they care for, whatever their favorite cause is, or donate to their favorite charity, you know. So get out there and do it. But you don't need Facebook and a video camera to do it, I believe.
No, I agree with you. You know, it's not about doing it for publicity. It's just doing it.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Before we go off track talking about I lost my train of thought. charity, which is great. You know, I mean, there's so many charities out there to give to. But did you see Kung Lee get his ass whooped?
Son, I'm telling you what, if I didn't know better, that looked like a man who touched somebody's wife's boobie. I mean, dude, he put a licking on him like it was personal.
Yeah, that was just crazy. And, you know, I'll tell you what, this was the first fight that I was actually a Michael Bisping fan. You know, I don't like the dude before. You know, we had some encounters before, and, you know, we weren't cool. But then, you know, after we did that interview with him, you know, we sat down, we squashed it all, we're cool. And so I went into this fight, all right, you know what, let's see what Mike can do, you know. You know, now I'm cheering for him and against him instead of against him. And there he goes. He pulls out that devastating win.
Now, look, I know a lot of people out there are probably on the same boat as you previous to this fight. A lot of them didn't like him, whether it was his arrogance, his fighting style, the country of origin, whatever. okay? But did you, after watching that fight, realize, holy crap, this guy's got hands?
Oh, I always knew he had hands. And,
okay.
You know, and I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people don't like him, because he's that good. He's arrogant, but he can back it up. I mean, he's not a guy that goes out there and gets his butt kicked. He brings it every time. Even when he loses, he brings it.
He definitely put an impressive whooping on him. You know, it's funny. Over that same fight card, we had Elizabeth Phillips, another Pac Northwest girl out of the Sick Jitsu Gym with Michael Chiesa and Sam Cecilia and all those guys. She went over, and everything I'm reading, dude, you know, it's 50-50. 50 say she got robbed, 50 said she didn't. Man, I tell you what, I saw where Dana fired the referee that worked that event, because it was a private sanctioned event, so they hired the referees and the judges' staff. I'm not the referee, the judge. I'm sorry, folks, who called it the other way. But look, we talk about this all the time with people on the show, man. You can't leave it up to judges. Even at a professional level like the UFC, you still can't leave it in a judge's hands. Finish that fight. Then there's no question.
No, you're exactly right. But then again, these are judges, and they should be able to judge right. I mean, it's just like in any other sport with a referee or an umpire. They're trained to do a job, and they should be able to do their job. And you're relying on them to do their job. I mean, you know, when I had a regular day job, if I didn't do my job right, I wasn't going to get fired. It should be the same with them.
Well, I can't. That's a fair, valid point right there. You know, but we had a Wednesday night. We had Forrest Hobick, the former director for the New York Amateur MMA in the state of New York. And then Corey Schaefer, the president for ISKA, the whole world, you know, the global sanctioning body. And, like, they were talking about the judges' courses that these guys take and the referee courses and the criterias that their judges need to, you know, look at when judging a fight by the standard rules right now that you have to use. And we're going to do a show with Corey. He says he's developed a new point system for judging a fight fairly. And we're going to have him on in a couple of weeks to break it down. And I tell you what, I think that's a big problem right there, is we are using the wrong judging system. And I think sometimes when we see a fight like Elizabeth Phillips' fight, where one judge calls it completely different, I think it's because he's looking at it at a different way. I think it's because he's looking at it with a more modern points system.
Well, I think another issue we have, too, is you have these judges who have never participated in the sport.
Amen.
So they don't understand it. Just like they'll see if you pull guard, they're gonna give the points to the other guy thinking that he's in the dominant position when he's on top. But when you pull guard, you're in the dominant position.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and it's funny you say that. I got this earlier today from somebody. It said, I'd like you to notice what's going on with our MMA scene. This is dealing, folks. This was sent to me. I'm not going to say by who, but it was sent to me by a fan in the state of New York. It says, I attended an event this Saturday. The referee is an active amateur fighter who is 0-3. The three judges sitting together in the background of this video are also amateur fighters. There's two different style gloves worn in this fight. Can you help me? Can you address this? Now, there's your problem right there, Ray. Look at this. We got an amateur reffing a fight and three amateurs judging it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, who would let that happen? That's just, that's horrible.
Looks like it was Evolution of Combat, so.
I mean,
I'll say it. But that's a big problem. Even in some of the regional events on the West Coast where I'm at, where you're at, you know, we see unqualified people versus where, you know, you got your boys, you know, Chris, you know, working an event, you know things are going to be done right.
Yeah, and especially because Chris, he participates in the sport. You know, he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, he's a boxing aficionado. I mean, he understands MMA. You know, he was a college wrestler. So he's going to be able to score it better than somebody who is an amateur with 3 losses on their record.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying you have to be an actual fighter, but I mean, a brown belt compared to somebody who's a yellow belt, you know, in jiu-jitsu, that's a big difference.
Just now, look, I know you manage some great, great young talent and some talent that is going to be making huge waves here in the next year. Does that ever affect you when you're offered a fight? Do you say, man, I know the people they're going to have reffing and judging, man, and I'm not cool with that, guys. I don't think you should take this fight. Or do you say, hey, look, it's up to the fighter?
What I do is I present it to the fighter, and it's up to them to say yes or no, but then also to we consult the corner. You know, in many of the cases, Ian Harris is the head coach for my guys for systems. Some of the other guys, I'm the chief second, you know, they're at a different gym. But it's a team decision. I don't make it solely on my own. The fighter doesn't make it solely on his own, and the coach doesn't make it solely on his own. So, you know, we sit there, we throw it around, and we make a decision. Now, I'll tell you what, I did get involved with an organization like that where, you know, it's a non-sanctioned event, and, you know, it was, I learned my lesson, let's put it that way. I mean, everything was going in our favor, but it's bad for the sport. It really is bad for the sport. You know, it's kind of like selling your soul to the devil.
Wow.
You know, I mean, yeah. So that organization, you know, we had a falling out over some other things that I'd say were about 80% my fault. But you know, I'm not trying to rationalize anything. But you know, we won't be back with that organization. And you know, a lot has to do with, you know, we had to jump through hoops for you know, basically an organization that wasn't on the up and up.
Now, you know, this happens, you realize, okay, I got to cut ties. I don't need my guys in this promotion or that promotion, you know. And along comes a fight that you feel your fighter needs, and it's offered to you down the road. Do you reexamine it, or do you still say, look, man, we burnt that bridge for a reason? If that's even happened to you yet.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the situation where we got involved with this organization was because, you know, we needed to get some wins, and we knew their talent pool wasn't that great. But like I said, it's like selling your soul to the devil. It's not something that we would do again. You know, I'd rather just go back to the drawing board, train harder, and fight for a better organization and fix whatever holes were in our game and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you know, that's the sad reality that you have to deal with as a manager. I mean, you know, folks don't, you know, they see you having to hustle sponsors. They see you, you know, having to get your guys to the gym and, you know, get your guys to the events and, you know, make deals. But they don't realize that that's another part of your, you know, what you're doing is you're researching different organizations, working with different organizations, finding out contracts, are they legit? Are they written properly? If they're written like crap, you know, you got to do all this. I mean,
well, you know,
this is one other thing.
I was talking to somebody this weekend, and I was telling him, you know what, the fighter has the easy job. All he has to do is fight. You know, the night before the fight, he gets to sleep. The day of the fight, he gets to relax. 3 days before a fight, I don't get any sleep. I'm busting my butt around the clock. And like you said, there's so much that goes into it, you know, the contract negotiations, the getting them to the gym, making sure they go to the gym, make sure they're eating right, make sure their weight's on point, ticket sales, walkout shirt sponsors. And, you know, in the last year and a half, you could add a babysitter to my list. when we're, and I don't mean babysitting the fighters, because that's a given. I'm talking about babysitting. You know, when we were up at Tachi, Terry and I was cutting weight, and I was in the room babysitting Jaden. And then we go to the weigh-in. I got Jaden, you know. Me and Jaden are sitting in the crowd while Terrion's weighing in. I mean, you know, I'm not complaining. You know,
no, but your job literally consists of everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's cool because Jaden's part of the team. He does coaching, too. You know, you can see him during the fights, and you know, he's actually calling stuff out that needs to be done.
Well, look, folks, since we're live right now, for those of you who are tuning in, I want to tell everybody that right about now, down in Los Angeles, I guess we're getting pretty close to the main event for University of MMA's event. That's throwing down. Don't forget, Shooto Brazil's wrapping up here in about another 45 minutes. That event will be over. Also, down in San Diego, I'm assuming it's still going on. Probably wrapping up any time now, the second day of the World Combat Series MMA Expo. That thing's bomb, dude.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go, but yeah, I think it's wrapping up because one of our guests is the cut man for that event. So, yeah, he said they were going to be done about 7. So I think it should be wrapped up already. Oh, you know what? I want to give a big, big shout-out to one of my good friends, one of the homies, Tony El Cucuy Ferguson, doing the co-main event next week for the UFC. I mean, you know, that's pretty big. Tony's come a long way from his days of fighting for NFA and winning the Ultimate Fighter, and now he finally gets his due and gets the co-main event. You know, and if you know Tony, he's a great guy. You know, real fun, real friendly, you know, straight shooter. It's just a pleasure to be around, you know, even away from the sport, he's a great guy. And, you know, it's just big things coming for him now. And, you know, me and him, we sat down, we talked about it, you know, a while back. And it's like, hey, you know, bro, you're the Ultimate Fighter, and you're always on the undercard. And when you get a title shot, or you're getting him on the main card, and he was like, I don't know, you know, he said, I can't control that, I can just control, you know, me winning. And now look at co-main event. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be taking on Danny Castillo, huh?
Yes, sir, and there's a lot of trash talking going on.
I'm going to tell you what, not a huge fan of Danny. I've seen a ton of his fights. Obviously, everybody has. I mean, you know, he's fought a ton, you know, in different, obviously mostly the UFC, but, you know, a lot of us saw him in the early days in the WEC. Never been a, you know, huge, huge fan of him. I got a feeling that I think Ferguson can finish him. I know he's a gritty guy. He's hard to finish. I believe in the last 5 years, he's only got one finish on him, and that was a TKO. I couldn't tell you what round, honestly, but I remember Michael Johnson put it on him. I think Tony needs to just be dirty. I think Tony needs to just walk him down and beat on his face.
I mean that's an excellent game plan, and you know, he's got a great corner with you know, coming from Team Reign and 10th Planet. You know, he's got Mark Munoz and Casey Allstead. You know, I'm sure they got a good game plan for him, because I mean, since he's went over to them, he's just unstoppable. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to have to miss the fight because we're actually fighting that same night in Vegas. Ty Bethley's fighting for King of the Cage.
Yeah, buddy.
So, unfortunately, we're going to miss it. And Ty and Tony are good friends, too. So, you know, we're both a little upset we got to miss this fight. But you know what? Hey, we got to go to work, too.
Well, you know, I know Tony likes to finish. I think this is a fight, like I said, he's got to keep it dirty. He cannot let Danny get comfortable on his feet, and he can't let Danny get comfortable on the ground. He's wherever it goes, he's got to stay dirty and active. And I mean, like, a lot of inside shots, man. Danny don't like that stuff. Pin him up against the cage and just play dirty with him. Just, you know, throw some uppercuts, some elbows, you know, just get him off his game. I know Volkman, you know, tried to, you know, pretty much grapple him, you know, to death, and he didn't like that. Obviously, everybody saw the Pettis, you know, knocked him out. I don't even remember what it was. It was a head kick or something. It was back at WEC days, but I know Pettis finished him, you know, so he can be finished, you know, and that's, I think, how he's going to have to do it. Otherwise, he's going to try to grind it out, use his cardio, and play it safe, get on top, and just hold control.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly, and you know, when I was talking to Casey Halstead, you know, his thing is there with Tony, that their whole approach is let's get the win and get out. We're not trying to prove a point, trying to show that, you know, we can out wrestle anybody or out jiu-jitsu them or out box them. Let's just get the win and get out.
Okay. I didn't realize that Tony had fought Michael Johnson.
Oh, did he?
It says that Tony Ferguson at UFC Fox 3, Diaz Miller, he fought him to a unanimous decision loss and then went on to beat Rio and Katsunori.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a fight, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's a fight he broke his hand in. And that's when he started going to see Doc Kessler. And
ah, that's the man.
You know, we got to get him on the show. I keep counting him. He's like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. We just, you know, we haven't been able to get our schedules to meet. But, yeah, Doc Kessler, you know, he's got.
Got to find out about the machine.
Yes, we do. I know GSP used it not too long ago. I haven't got a chance to see it or see how it works. You know, I was kind of hoping that they would use it on Therion, but they were able to get them all fixed up without using it, so I missed my chance to watch it.
Well, we're going to have to get them on and talk about that. And, folks, just so you know, we have our first guest in about 10 minutes, so don't worry, we're getting to him. Hey, I know this weekend you didn't get to catch it, but Darwish Brothers out of New Jersey, man, they threw on EFC 12. Man, okay, this isn't a mod. This is like old old school camel rules. You know, you wear the shin guards. You can't strike to a downed opponent. You can only grapple, you know. But I saw some amazing fights, man. These kids, when they get into the ground, even though they can't go for, like, you know, ground and pound, man, do these kids work like little machines. Man, just constant scrambling, constant submission attempts from top and bottom. I tell you what, it was really exciting. Another great card, man. You ever get a chance to catch them, you will be a happy camper.
Yeah, I got to check that out. Oh, you know what? Another thing that I wanted to touch on is your guy's quest for the Poodle Cup.
Yeah.
You know, I was going down the list of your guys' fighters for your fantasy MMA. Man, you got some duds on there. You got some, you know, regional and local stars on there. That's amazing. You know, like I was, you know I throw his name out there a lot, but Therion, like I hit him up, hey bro, they selected you in fantasy MMA. He was like, what? I mean,
yep.
That means you've made it when they're picking you on a fantasy sport.
If you listen to that show and straight up, like Lepaki even busted me right in the middle. He goes. And for my, I think it was the sixth pick was Therion. He goes, for my sixth pick, because I know Skippy's been waiting way too long, and I know he's going to pick it because he's next up. He goes, I'm picking up a future star and probably one day UFC champion, Therion, the Flash. I was like, oh, you. And that was my pick on my list. I was like, so I had to go with Lyman Good instead. That was my alternate to him, to Therion, was Lyman Good. And I was like, are you serious? He just ganked Therion right from underneath me, man. I was like, oh, that's wrong.
And then, you know, and then we saw Jose Diaz on there.
Yep. H.R. Baker, I believe, has Jose Diaz. He's a big fan of that kid.
Now, who picked Dakota Cochran? Because I could have told you he was going to lose.
That is Carl, man. Carl the Madman.
Yeah, he was going against Christos. I could have told you he was going to lose.
Yeah, I just told him this morning that his guy lost.
Oh, yeah. That devastating flying knee.
Oh, I mean, dude. I mean, that's like knockout of the year material, probably. It's got to be a top tenner.
Sure Dog already put it as knockout of the week.
Carl's guy gets obliterated. Oh, that just made my night even better.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Dakota Cochran. You know, the dude's a stud. But Christos is the man. And, you know, he trains that system with my guys. You know, he helps corner my guys. He's a great guy. In fact, me and my daughter have been going to his family restaurant since even before, you know, I knew he was a fighter. And, you know, he's a great guy. And it couldn't happen to a better person. And he's hoping to get that call tomorrow.
He won a title in one of the few organizations that does move its champions on. I mean, you got RFA, obviously, has a lot of fighters making that step. You got Titan fighters making that step. You've got Legacy fighters making that step. So, I mean, there's a couple organizations out there, folks. You want a title to get you to that next spot? Those are some great organizations to go to get that.
And he's got the Tachi belt, too.
Yeah. Dude, isn't Poppy Martinez fighting soon?
You know what? I don't know. I think he is, but I'm not too sure. I mean, I can't confirm nor deny it.
I could have sworn somebody the other day told me that he was fighting coming up soon. I'm going to have to check that out.
You know, I know Joe Soto's fighting next week.
He's going to get beat up.
You know, it's going to be an interesting fight. And, again, I can't see it. But I'll catch the replay.
Folks, there's nothing to catch. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's how it's going to go. Burschak's going to come in. First of all, this guy's got a cardio like nobody. This guy hits like a 170-er. I mean, the guy trains with everybody in his gyms in the UFC pretty much but him until now. It just because he was in an odd weight class. He was in a long-term contract with a Canadian company. He could, you know, he finally got out of. But Anthony Burschak is going to come in there, and he is going to box Joe up like so bad. And if for a second he thinks he wants to take it to the ground to get out of that, he just ended the fight. So I'm telling you right now, TKO first round from ground and pound.
You know, talking about contracts and people getting out of them, Eddie Alvarez signing with the UFC, that's big.
Okay, we got a couple minutes before we're going to call our first guest, so I want to give you my opinion on this. And this is something we've talked about with a lot of different people. This is my outtake on it. They took Bobby Green out of that fight and threw him in to face Cerrone.
I thought that was wrong.
I agree. They should have given him somebody like Joe Lozon or Dan Miller first, you know, Jim Miller first. They should have given him somebody right in there, you know, that 4, 5, 6, 7 range, you know. But I think if Cerrone demolishes him, he's one and done with the UFC. I bet you there's something in that contract. Saying if it's a loss that they have the option to cancel the rest of the fights.
They will do that. And the reason why I didn't like it was Bobby Green is a training mate of some of my guys over at Team Victory. So it was kind of like, exactly. But
let's say it. You know, let's just say it. He got screwed. It wasn't fair.
And exactly. And then you also know how Zuffa works. You know, they could bring in a known name, and if you don't perform, you got one shot. You know, you don't got two fights, you don't got three fights. Look what happened on Tony McKee. You know, he goes and he gets beat by a no name, and see ya.
Yeah. Dude, I tell you what. I felt bad for Bobby Green, but I got a feeling that we're going to see that Bellator's champ wasn't as great as everybody thought he was.
Oh, definitely you're going to see that, especially because, you know, Bellator was in its infancy there then. So they didn't really have a big talent pool. I mean, not that it's any better now, but, I mean, it's a little bit better. And, you know, what's your take on the Gina Carano situation?
I think if she's willing to stay at 145, you go ahead, you sign her to Bellator, you give her what she's asking for, and you build that division because it's open to be built right now. But if she's willing to go to 135, then you sign her to the UFC because obviously that's where all the 135ers are right now in the world. But, you can't give her a title shot, man. I know everybody out there is going to scream and cry that because Ronda's like, she makes the worst matchup for me. Really? This chick got beat by Cyborg and hasn't been in the cage in 5 years. I don't think she's a bad matchup for you. I think she's a cupcake win at this point.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, I don't think she deserves a title shot. She needs to earn that spot. And, you know, if they sign her and they give her a title shot right off the bat, then that's just proving what a joke Zuffa is.
Well, they gave her – look, and people argue with me this all the time. Go ahead, STP tattoo. You want to tweet at me. They gave Ronda a title. I don't care
exactly.
If they bought the organization. I don't care. They gave other guys titles as well when they swallowed up organizations. Man, look, right now, I'm telling you right now, if Bama, USA, and Brett turned around and bought Tachi tomorrow and said the Tachi flyweight champ is now the Bama flyweight champ, period, people would be like, that's a joke. That's a setup. That's not right. He didn't have to fight for it. But because Zuffa does it, it's acceptable. I don't like that, man. Fight for a title. Yes, she beat Liz Carmouche. Okay, she beat everybody, okay? She's undefeated. She has earned that title and defended it since then. Okay, I give it to her. But to give it to her right off the bat was wrong.
Thank you. I agree with you 100%. If there was no title holder in that division, they should have had a tournament, at least a four-person tournament.
Yep, they did with Uncle Creepy and Demetrius and
exactly.
You remember? Because remember, the Australian card in the tournament was a draw, and then they found out later that the points were awarded the wrong way. So, I mean, they did it for that weight class. Why not do it for your opening 130? They're doing it for the straw weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, oh, look, it's time for us to get calling somebody. Let's call him live on air. Because I forgot to call him because we're just talking. So the cut man's up first.
Oh, yeah.
Hello,
Juan.
Hey, how's it going? This is Juan.
What's up, brother? You're on live on Sunday Night Fights Live. Why don't you let our listeners know who you are and what you do?
This is Juan, cutman for Jairo Ramirez, and I'm a professional cutman, and I'm also the owner of Cutman for Hire Supplies. So we provide supplies for all the man corner man, you know, worldwide.
Nice, nice. You just finished doing the we were talking about it earlier, the expo over there in San Diego. How did that go?
Oh, man, it was a busy week, and it went great, though, man. They had everything. They had MMA. Actually, I just got home. We just did the World Combat Series MMA event. So it just – literally, I just walked in the door a couple minutes ago. And
didn't Megatron also go down today there?
They had – they had a Muay Thai today also.
Oh, okay.
So those are events that they had. And which one were you asking about?
The Megatron wrestling event. I didn't know if that was today or yesterday.
You know what? There was something else going on next door in one of the other halls. It was huge. I don't know what, you know, maybe that might have been in it, but they had a lot of people at that event also. But, the MMA Evolution Expo was a good turnout. They pretty much covered every, you know, combat sport, you know, that... you know, around, so, I mean, it's only going to grow. This is the first one in San Diego. They've done really good in San Jose, so I think next year's event will be even better, you know, but a good event.
So, cool. Have you worked for these guys before? Because I know they've done a couple expos. We've had them on the shows and worked with them in the past.
Yeah, definitely. I've worked with World Combat Series, you know, with the World Gym, with Gabe and, you know, and Chris.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with them a few. I think we've been working with them since their first MMA show. So, you know, we've been with them since then. We don't do the ones in San Jose, but all the ones here in Southern California, we work with them. Yeah, they're great people, man. I can't, you know, they put on a good event and they're very professional, good people to work with and good people to know.
Did you get to work tonight?
Got to work. It wasn't a very bloody show, but, you know, we wrapped, I think I wrapped like 6-7 hands, you know, and no blood, you know, but it was a fun event.
Now, what's the worst cut that you've seen?
You know what? Actually, we just had a nasty cut. This was last week in Wilmington at the TFA show. And first round, the dude, you know, was chin, I guess, you know, the leg part. Man, that thing just split open. I mean, it must have been like 2 inches wide. And I used the big swabs, and that thing did not, and I probably needed 2 of them. I think it got all the way to the bone. And he got back to the corner. He got back there. You know, he kind of looked at it, and then right away his corner man said, you know what, don't look at that. Don't worry about that stuff. Because I think he was about to, like, freak out when he saw it, because it was nasty. It was a nasty, it just looked, you know, kind of one of those things you see in the movies and stuff. And now we did, you know, we got him cleaned up, got him ready, you know, again. And he went out there, ended up, you know, going the next 2 rounds, won the fight, won the title. I mean, so it was a good night. But that guy had some, you know, he was a fighter, man. I mean, he didn't let that, you know, take him out of it, you know, take his mind out of the fight. And he went out there, and I'm sure it hurt him a lot, but that fighter spirit in him didn't let him quit. So, I mean, that was badass.
Now, I got to ask you, you know, I've gotten the chance to talk to a few cutmen over the years of doing these shows. How many, because a lot of people don't give you the credit you deserve. How many times do you feel that your work in a cage saved a fight and let it go the full distance like it should have?
Oh, man, numerous times. It's happened a lot. I mean, that's, you know this. I mean, being in the game, that's what we're there for. You know, we're there to help them out and to, you know, make sure that they make it to, you know, to the next round to win that fight or to keep them in that fight. So it happens a lot. You know, you get some good fighters, you know, that are, you know, that they'll thank you and they're like, you know what, thank you, you did, you know. They weren't for, you know, you stopping the blood, you know. But, I mean, it's rare when it happens, I guess, and I can say that, but it's just, and they're in the moment, bro, you know. So later on, you know, you see them at the next fight and they remember you. You kind of get that bond because of the fight and how bloody it was, or you know, you kind of get that bond between you and that fighter. So next time you see each other, you got that history and stuff. So, yeah, I don't think we're there to get the credit, or we don't get the credit, but it's all good, man. We're still there to help out the fighters, and you know, and that's what we're there to do, so.
Well, I mean, I know Ray's got some questions for you, but just one more personal question.
Yeah.
Dude, when you see guys wrapping their hands, how many times have you just cringed at the job getting done?
You know what? I mean, a lot of times. And you know, I tell guys, you know what? There's different styles of rapping. I mean, my style may be different from, you know, Ray's or from, you know, Stitch or from some of the other guys. But there's still some fundamentals, you know, and there's things that have to happen, you know, and to keep the fighter's hands safe. But I think what's worse even than that is that, you know, they're doing a terrible job, but then they'll tell you, I've been doing this for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, well, you've been doing this wrong for 20 years, you know. But it's crazy, you know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about some of those coaches or trainers that have that attitude. You know, I mean, we're there, especially like if the promotion hired us to work or rap or take care of their fighters, we're there to help. You know, I'm not trying to take their fight or take credit. I'm there to help. That's what a cut man does. You know, we want to help out and we want to make sure that the fighters stay, that they win, you know, try to help them out as much as we can. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad hand wraps or bad corner work that you see, but sometimes people don't want the help. They think that by you helping them with their fighter, you're taking some of the, you know, the credit of them being a good trainer or whatever away. So, you know, whatever. I mean, what can you do about it?
Okay. Good answer. Good answer. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we were, okay, I see you. And you're talking about your company supplies. For fans out there, and it's teams, coaches, cutmen around the world who are listening to the show tonight and the replays, like, what all can we get from your company? Are we talking, like, specialized gauzes and what all do you sell for the public?
We sell pretty much everything that you see on the website is equipment that I use, you know, when I'm working the site. But we got the, you know, the larger Q-tips, you know, way larger than, you know, than if you have, you know, you go down to one of the stores and pick up, you know, Q-tips or whatever. So we specialize in, you know, in the Q-tips, bigger swabs, the gauze tapes, and we carry, you know, some of the bigger brands of tapes, whether it be Stitch, War. So we carry those. We carry the gauze that a lot of the boxing coaches use, some of the gauze fluff, you know, the bigger gauze. We carry that. Our niche is those kind of specialized supplies for cutman, cornermen. So we got the wristbands that you can attach your gauze, your nose plugs on there. We got everything pretty much except for medications, which we can't sell. You know, you can't sell medicine.
Now, do you have your own concoction? Do you have your own mixture?
No, I mean, the thing that I use the most is adrenaline. I mean, that's the most common medication that's used. So, you know, I use that, and like I tell a lot of guys, you know, don't be discouraged, because I think a lot of guys are starting in the game, you know. If you don't get a hold of adrenaline or one of those other medications, you know what, it's always the fundamentals, you know, the pressure, the putting the ants or the ice on that cut, and that's going to help it out as well, you know. So as far as special mixtures and all that, usually, I mean, I'll mix adrenaline with some Vaseline and stuff, but a lot of it is just back to, you know, the first aid basics, pressure, you know, cold on it, and that's, you know, that usually works.
You know, to somebody out there who would like to become a cut man, what would be your advice as far as them getting trained, or, you know, where they can go to get that kind of training, or what they need to do?
You know what, as far as training, I mean, it's very limited as far as what's out there right now. I know Juanito Ibarra was doing seminars, you know, a couple years ago and stuff, but that stopped for now. But you know what, I started off just by starting to do it. I mean, I walked into a gym, you know, that had MMA classes, and I talked to the coach. I go, you know what, I want to be a cut man, you know. And he looked at me kind of strange, like, really? Like, everybody that comes here wants to fight. And I go, well, I want to be a cut man, you know. Is it okay if I stop by, you know, when you're teaching your classes, and if anybody gets hurt, I'll take care of them, you know, as far as, you know, any bruising or bleeding and stuff. I want to be the guy to, you know, help them out. So that was how I started. I mean, started taking some first aid classes, first responder classes, to kind of teach you how to treat some of these, you know, these wounds and stuff. So that was how I started. There's a lot of stuff now. This was 10 years ago. So nowadays, I mean, you got a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of, you know, interviews, you know, so a lot of, I mean, they can research it, you know, YouTube it. A lot of guys like Stitch, you know, like Amito, like some of the other cutmen. I mean, there's been interviews, and if you listen carefully, you get a lot of those interviews, you know. So that's one of the things I would recommend. And getting in and doing it, you know, get into a fight team or go to a gym that has an MMA or boxing and start getting your foot in the door that way. And you know what, you're not going to be in the UFC tomorrow or whatever. If that's your goal, your sole goal, then you're probably in the wrong business, you know. But if you want to be there to help fighters out and get some of that, and you enjoy the sport, I mean, just start by working the amateur shows, you know, the in-house shows, you know, start doing that. And little by little, you're going to get that experience, and you're going to get, you know, with a team, and then things are going to blow up from there. But, I mean, those would be my tips.
Well, I mean, you know, me personally, that's how I did it, where I was watching the Stitches videos on YouTube. I've actually watched you, and you know, that's how I learned it. You know, plus having a first aid background, a first responder training, that's what helped me out a lot. I mean, you know, I can't even compare to you, but every time, every time I see you at the fights, I'm always watching what you're doing. And when I see you there and I know you're the cut man for the fight, I don't got to worry about it. My boys are taken care of.
Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate it. You know what? We're always learning, man. Like, that's the thing that I tell you. I was mentioning, you know, with guys that say, like, oh, I know everything. I've been in this game forever, blah, blah, blah. You know what, man? There's always room to learn. And if somebody learns from you and you learn from somebody else, I mean, that's great. Like, you know, there's people that get mad because you're watching them, but this and that. I'm like, dude, you know what? Relax. Just, you know, if somebody wants to watch and see how you do things, take it as a compliment, you know? I mean, that's all you got to do. I mean, it's not no big deal, man.
You're 100% right, Ray. Let me just jump in. Look, I grew up being a chef, and the chef that trained me, you know, he said, what I know is not a secret. He goes, you know, and if you quit learning every day as a chef, that's when you quit being a chef and you become a cook. You know, chefs are constantly evolving. Just like it sounds like your business and your art form is constantly evolving. You're fine-tuning it. The way you finished a cut up maybe 5 years ago is completely different than the way you do it today.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, that's a good point to bring up. And, yeah, you can't always – you always learn something. I mean, like, maybe some guy that started 2 years ago, you're going to learn something from that guy, you know? I mean, it's okay. I mean, just keep your mind open and learn. And maybe Ray does something a certain way, and I'm like, oh, okay, that, you know. So our styles, whether it be wrapping hands or doing that or working cuts, maybe we saw other people doing a certain thing, and then we kind of tweaked things to work the best for us. So I think, well, you know, you're going to create your own style eventually.
So you know, for our fans out there listening, who are some of the bigger names that you've worked with?
Oh, man, you know what, this is actually one of the bigger names just happened at Glory. I was actually there working with Ray Cruz out of 818 Boxing, which is a great team. I've worked with them for a couple of years now. And we got done with our fight. I was back in the dressing room just hanging out, you know, just kind of chilling, getting my stuff, putting my stuff away. And then here comes one of the inspectors, and he's all like, hey, Crow Cop needs his hands wrapped. And next one was Crow Cop. I'm like, oh, you mean that Co-Cop? And then I kind of went into fan mode, you know, like, oh, shoot. And he had him with him, and I'm like, oh, well, have a seat, you know. And so, you know, I took out my tools. I shake his hand, and then he's all like, oh, you know, thank you. And then something was going on because him and they were talking in their language. So I noticed something was going on, but he goes, do you think you can wrap me up kind of fast because I'm running late and stuff? I don't know what went down, but I ended up wrapping up his hands, and, you know, after a minute that he sat down, I went into, you know, cut man mode, and he was just another customer, you know, but he's one of the, you know, I got to wrap him up at that night. He went out, won the fight. I was proud, man. It was one of those proud moments. You know, the guys were like, you didn't get a picture with him? And I'm like, well, the guy was about to fight, you know what I mean? I'm not going to ask him for a picture. You know, he's doing his job, I'm doing my job. But after the fight, he was already getting checked out by the doctors. And I go, hey, Crow Cop, do you mind if I get a picture? And we took a picture. He goes, thank you. He goes, what did he tell me? He goes, it wasn't wraps. He called it something else. But he goes, he was happy with the wraps, you know. So I was like, oh, man, it was awesome. So I've gone to wrap him up. LeVar Johnson, the janitor, went to wrap his hands. Travis Brown from the UFC. I've gone to wrap a lot of dudes, but whether it's an amateur or if it's a big name guy, I mean, it's, you know, it's the same thing. We put in the same quality work into either one of them, and it's just an honor to be a part of it and be a part of history and working with them.
That's awesome. Now, you know, you guys do a lot of events. How many Cutmen are part of Cutmen for Hire?
Well, Cutmen for Hire, actually, Cutmen for Hire is not the, like, the dudes, you know, providing the comment for the event. We're all independent. I mean, comment for our separate. That's the brand, you know, the supplies and stuff like that. So that's separate. As far as like in our group, we have four cut men, and it's mostly people that have come along through the National Cut Man Trainers Association, which is headed by Juanito Ibarra. So we kind of formed a group, and that's a group that I work with. Maybe in the future we may do some things with Cutman for Hire, whether it be seminars and, you know, and certifications. But at this point, I'm kind of keeping those two things separate. You know, but a lot of people do think, like, oh, it's Cutman for Hire provided to Cutman. But no, that's the brand. That's the supply. We just happen to be wearing the, you know, the jackets and using the gear. But in our group with the Cutman Association, we got 4 Cutman at this time. And we're looking for other, you know, other people constantly, because there's so many events. I mean, there's not enough people, you know, to work. But like you guys know, you got to get people that are, you know, that are ready to go and that want to do this for the right reasons, because they want to make a difference and help out these fighters and be there. You know, we don't need people that are chasing cameras and trying to be on the, you know, the spotlight. That's not what we're looking for. I mean, we want people that we can count on that are going to be there for the fighter, not for themselves.
Now, if anybody needed to get supplies, where do they get to your website?
Oh, the website is cutmanforhire.com, and all our sales are done. We actually have a storefront, well, at one of the gyms here in San Diego, at the House of Boxing, but everything is done online, and they just go to cutmanforhire.com, and we got everything on there. If they can also reach me through the website or at cutmanforhire@yahoo.com, and I'm pretty, you know, if somebody emails me or has a question, I try to, you know, get back to them, you know, within a timely manner. And I'm there, and I think that's what separates Cutman for Hire supplies from other supply companies, is that it's actually, you know, somebody who's in there in the game and understands, you know, if they have a question. You know, I have first-hand experience on what's going on and what would work best in certain situations.
Now, if they want to hire you as a Cutman, how do they get a hold of you?
They get the same way. They can email me. Or, you know, email me at cutmanforhire.com. And also we have a link at the store website. So they can hire me as a cutman for a single, you know, for a fighter, MMA, boxing, or any other combat sport. Or if they need cutman for the event, we can provide, you know, myself and some of the guys that I work with can work that event. But, yeah, man, it's like World Combat, you know, they hire us for their event, Epic, Fight Gym in San Diego, TSA out in the L.A. area, and Bama, you know, I'm one of the official cutmen for Bama USA. So we're out there, and, you know, we're just trying to keep the fighters safe.
Cool, cool. Okay, Juan, you know, we're at the end of the segment now. I want to thank you for coming on. Right now is your time. Go ahead and shout out whoever you want to shout out, you know, mention any websites, whatever you want. Go for it, bro. It's your time.
No. First of all, I want to thank you guys for having me on. It's an honor. You know, to be on with you guys and to, you know, talk a little bit about what, you know, what the Cutman do. I want to send a shout out, I guess, to my family, my wife, who's very supportive. You guys know, being in the fight game, I mean, we're out a lot, we're busy, you know, and stuff like that. So you need to have a strong partner by your side, or else, you know, if they didn't get at home, they ain't gonna be good out there. So I thank her, my son, my daughter, and Cutman for Hire. You know, visit the store online, www.cutmanforhire.com. I want to thank all the cutman and cornermen that I learned from, you know, like you, you know, saying that sometimes we're watching off all those people that gave me that opportunity, you know, to see them. And I think the House of Boxing for carrying my supplies at their store. And a special thanks to all the cutmen worldwide that have given Cutman for Hire supplies the chance to be in their corner. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't be where we're at, and I want to thank them for that, because you know, they make us better, and I hope that we're making them better in that corner, taking care of the fighter. But yeah, that's what we got going on. And North Dakota, I'll be up there with 818 Boxing. We got 4 fighters out there with Ron Cruz and 3 of his teammates on September. I believe it's September 6th in North Dakota, so I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome. I definitely got to hit up your website. I need some more supplies, so I'll be doing that probably sometime this week. And look forward to seeing you at the next fight. I know for sure we'll be at Bama. So, you know,
thank you, man. I'll see you up. It'll be good. Y muchas gracias a toda la gente que habla español. Gracias, and I'll be seeing them around, you know, seeing you around.
All right, thanks a lot for coming on, Juan. We definitely got to have you on again sometime. You know, it was very informative, and thanks a lot, brother. You know, I'll see you real soon.
Thank you. We'll see you around, man. Just have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Great interview, Ray. Love talking to that guy. I like getting to the backside, kind of like maybe the dirtier part of the sport that people don't really pay attention to. But we're about to jump to the other side of the sport when it comes to fighters, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we touched on that a little bit earlier, you know, about, you know, what managers do. And, you know, this is one of the guys who's one of the good guys in the business. And, I mean, not saying that there's a lot of bad guys, but, I mean, you know, Donald Royer is definitely one of the good ones. And, you know, I'm just happy to have him finally on the show.
Well, Donald, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it, Ray and Skippy, MMA Warehouse, Night House, my bad.
It's all right. Now, for everybody out there listening tonight, because we're going to have fans all over the world, not just SoCal, Ray's just loved that much. Tell everybody who you are, what your position is with your company.
Company is U.S. Elite Combat. I am the founder of it, CEO of it. And currently we have fighters all around the country, local fighters that we've taken to the next level.
Now, you know, me, Ray, obviously Ray's in your side of the business. I deal with a ton of guys who manage fighters and have to take care of that. You know, you've got a collective, you know, stable of fighters from the East Coast to the West Coast. Do you find it as a manager easier to have your fighters spread out that far?
It's actually quite tough. You know, and I know Ray does the same deal. You can't stay 100% focused to somebody that's, you know, 1,000, 2,000 miles away. You know, I'm getting offers from England and Spain and all over the world right now. And I just find it at this time, it's not the right time to expand to the global side yet.
Well, I'll just throw my two cents in because you mentioned Spain. You ever get an offer for your fighters to fight on ASGNAR Fighting League, do it. That is one of the greatest leagues outside the United States I've ever seen. Top, top-notch promotion, amazing fights.
Now, you know,
right
for,
now,
for I'm sorry, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, right now the relationships that I build is primarily Poland and Russia and England. So even though I'm not signing a bunch of fighters, I am building the relationship with the promotions over there. So I do find, you know, there are some great promotions that are looking out for the American fighters as well as, you know, health, benefits, everything to do to come over there and fight.
Now, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, these young guys coming up, how do you go about acquiring clients? Do you seek them out or do they come to you?
A little bit of both. I try to pay attention to a lot of social media, and I try to find guys that honestly have class and, you know, for the most part, you know, that actually are, you know, looking well, you know, presenting them, you know, themselves well on social media and just kind of focusing and looking at some of their fight techniques. And being that I'm a former Iowa national wrestler, I tend to lean towards wrestlers and grapplers.
Nice, nice. I mean, you know, me being a former wrestler too, that when I started to take down, that's what I wanted, wrestlers. And it, oddly enough, I only have one wrestler in my stable.
Hey, you touched on something, and I think it's important that we go back to it, especially for these young amateurs. You talked about paying attention to the social media aspect of a fighter's life. Explain to these kids coming up right now, listen, especially these amateurs, these are the show, how important it is to behave like a professional on social media as well as in a cage.
It's extremely important, you know, for somebody who, you know, for an amateur looking to become a professional, they have to act like a professional. And as they are showing gratefulness of things that are being done for them and not look like everything has to be handed to them, It's very important for them, whether they're getting a T-shirt sponsor, shorts, banners, mouth guard. From every level of the fight game, it's so important not just to go, thank you for a mouth guard, but let's show appreciation next week, the following month, you know, and just to be consistent of being grateful for somebody who's giving you product. Because right now, as you both know, is there's more product being given out than financial.
Yeah. That's definitely something that I've been encountering a lot. Now, you know, we're talking about social media. Now, I'm sure you run into this a lot because I have too, are these Facebook fighters that they're posting about their fighting and their training, but in reality they've had one fight for a whole 30 seconds. You know, what do you say about that?
Well, it really depends. You know, there's a lot of posers and a lot of non-fighters that are out there, but honestly, I try not to pay attention too much of that part on social media. I'm more looking for some solid training and then looking – I'm going to do a little bit of investigating, to be honest, and I want to know who is going to represent my company, like, and who I'm going to represent. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to look bad by anybody. I can make myself look bad. And so, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm really going to pay attention to a lot of things, and some of that stuff, honestly, I probably wouldn't waste 5 seconds, you know, going through, and it wouldn't faze me.
Now, you know, we're talking about these young guys coming up. What would be your best advice to a kid who comes to you and says, you know what, I want to be an MMA fighter? You know, he's got no training yet. You know, he wants to train. He's hungry. What would be your best advice to him?
My best advice would be get with honestly, you got to have grappling and wrestling. And if it's come in, depending, there's so many scenarios. You know, if the guy doesn't have a job, is he working part-time? You know, is he going to college? There's, you know, can he pay gym dues? You know, all the factors that come in there. But at the end of the day, my number one thing is you got to have some form of grappling, wrestling or jiu-jitsu, something that, because the fight's going to end up on the ground, you know, at some point, or it should.
Now, that's interesting. You know, with today, obviously, you know, American style, you know, collegiate wrestling is making a very big push into the sport the last few years. When you're researching a guy, let's say you come across, you know, a fighter you find very appealing, you know, from everything I'll tell. Let's say he's 7-1 as a pro, and you know, you feel like he addresses himself right. He's articulate. He's good to his sponsors. And then you start doing the research, and maybe you find out he's a sambo specialist. Is that for you just as enticing for a ground game, or would you prefer it to be more towards the BJJ or wrestling world?
It would still intrigue me as far as the sambo style, absolutely. And honestly, it's really, is he going to carry himself well, and is his character what I think, you know, I can work with? Because I've had other fighters who just are young, like you guys have mentioned, where seems like the younger guys cuss a lot more, and they're maybe a little bit more disrespectful. And I'm looking for the respectful young fighters that I can work with. So, cool. You know, if it's sambo, it's great. You know, I'm okay with that.
Okay. You get this, you know, great opportunity to see, like, us here at Madhouse. I mean, that's what we do. We, you know, our big thing is local MMA, no matter what corner of the world. You get to see the crop of talent today versus 5 and even 10 years ago. What do you see about today's younger pros as a whole versus 5 years ago?
The amount. You know, just like you guys say, you know, where 5-10 years ago, it was very limited. There could have been more fighters, but the amount, you know, Chuck Liddell or, you know, Couture back, you know, 5-10 years ago, when it was just them. It seemed like it was only them being shown all the time, and they were getting the fights, versus now there's 5, 10, 15, 20, you know, Chuck Liddells and Couture's that are coming up that are tough as hell. You know, not to say that Chuck and Randy both are, you know, legends and they're in their own right, but the pool is becoming so much larger. You know, there's guys that are fighting in regional shows all over the world that are never going to get to where they need to get because no one's helping them.
Okay, this is something I want to address because okay, you have a client, we'll just say client X, and you're like, you're good. You want to get to the UFC. I think the best bet is for you to go to KSW or EFC Africa or up to, you know, a different promotion internationally and take those fights that pay, get that experience, and work your way there. How hard is it for you to convince those kind of fighters that want to go straight to the UFC that KSW is a great option?
I haven't had any issues with any, honestly, with any of my fighters. You know, maybe one who primarily didn't want to go into a full contract with one of the top promotions. You know, it wasn't UFC, but it was one of the top promotions, and he didn't want to go there, and he's like, I don't want to sign. I'll wait my time and just wait for the UFC. UFC did finally come knocking, and that's great. It worked out great for him, but you know, there hasn't been a lot, and I think once you show the fighter a game plan and a roadmap, you know, you have to sit down and figure it out. And with, you know, their team, you know, that's ultimately what has to happen is get the roadmap out and say, this is how we have to get there. And in order for you to get there, this is the route we're going to have to go, whether it's going overseas or getting in the next top tier of regional shows.
But with the oversaturation of pros and regional shows, for a fighter to I think today a fighter's best options are to try to take the beginning of their pro career and travel, do like a Lee Morrison and go to M1, or, you know, do, you know, like these guys like Tenier Dixon going down to EFC. Get out there and get those paychecks. Travel, get paid to go do what you love to do, but take them, because right now the fight pool is so hard and the money is getting so much tighter on regional promotions throughout the whole U.S. It's not so much outside this country. So I just don't understand why so many fighters are afraid to take that leap and go internationally.
To be honest, I don't think that any fighters that I have currently are afraid to go overseas. I think every one of them are, you know, if you want to send me to Japan, send me to Japan. You want to send me to Germany, anywhere, just I'm good with that. So I don't have any fighters that are scared not to go overseas and do that. But I think that ultimately there's a better chance of you traveling, because if I'm in Arizona and I don't have a solid record, maybe I'm 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, you know, a lot of other big promotions around the United States aren't going to say, hey, we're going to give you, you know, 2 plane tickets. And, you know, other than, you know, the top tier promotions are going to do that, you know. You know, your best option is to go overseas.
Now, you know, you make a great point because, you know, Havoc FC, a company we love, we work with, they do a lot of great things. Right now, he came on our show, I don't know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and he said, I prefer to fly in U.S. fighters and their cornermen because, A, it's cheaper, and, B, my fans love it more. You know, that's, you know, once again, it's hard to get Ring of Combat to fly a SoCal fighter out to take on Chris Wade. It just is. They rather go and get Frankie Perez from New Jersey, who's going to drive in, you know. But international organizations don't look at it that the way. They look at it, I'm bringing in a U.S. fighter, you know, to get tested against our fighters. You know, it's a selling point for them, I guess, that they can use to hype an event or a fight. And I wish more U.S. companies would say, look, I'm bringing in those guys from the West Coast or from the East Coast or from the Midwest because I want to say I'm the proving ground. You know, I want to be an RFA, a Titan, you know. I want to be a legacy, you know. It's just, it's, you're right, right now with the oversaturation, nobody's getting fights in a lot of states because the guys are coming in and saying, I'll do it for 3-3. Well, I'll do it for 2-2.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. You know, we just had this weekend World Fighting Federation here in Tucson, and Tom Ortiz, you know, honestly, has one of the greatest promotions because, you know, he's a former, you know, All-American wrestler, and he knows MMA, and he brings in other fighters from Texas and California. And honestly, Arizona is, you know, in my opinion, is a mecca of MMA itself. I mean, you got Nevada and you got California, and, you know, but Arizona is a hotbed for training, everything, you know, and I think we've got some of the toughest fighters around.
Well, you do.
Now let's jump over to the management side of it. You know, you get these guys that they watch Rocky and they think they could be the next Mickey and they can manage people. What do you say to that? I mean, you know, what's your background as a manager, and what do they need to do to become a manager? Because they just can't come out and say, "Oh, I'm a manager now. I can get you fights."
Well, the oddity is that I, not only by day, I manage, I had managed Tucson International Airport food and beverage program, and had 18 restaurants, and I know, let's say, young adults. And how to psychologically work with different people. My background in, you know, of being a wrestler from Iowa and wrestling at an elite level, and coaching, you know, all the way up until my, you know, I'm 45, but coaching in between my years of wrestling, I've done it. So, honestly, it just fell to me. I was doing a lot of stuff for helping a lot of fighters out, just sponsoring them and going in there coaching and wrestling and doing some things. And it just ended up being that one of the fighters' wives had asked me would I manage her husband. And she honestly just said, "You obviously aren't trying to steal from my husband. You don't care. It hasn't been a financial thing for you. And honestly, you care about our fighters and you care about my husband and you're the real deal. And would you do this professionally?" And so that's kind of how I did it. And I truly love the sport. I care about it. You know, and it's honestly about my character and my integrity of what I do. If somebody's asked me, you know, how do I do this? Honestly, I have a young guy that's a protege underneath me, and he's learning, and he's like my wing guy. So that's my boy Jaime, and he's learning, and he's a young entrepreneur and a young kid that's learning the ropes.
We need to do a whole show with you. I mean, straight up, we need to do a whole show with you about, you know, I got 100 more questions.
Well, we're keeping him on the line because we're actually going to be bringing on one of his fighters. Donald, why don't you go ahead and introduce him?
Well, we're going to now introduce Matt, the leg breaker, Betzel.
Matt, welcome to Saturday Night Fight Live. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Don?
What's up, Matt?
Not much, man. Just hanging out.
This is go ahead, Ray.
This is the big question, dude. This is the big question for you. This is what everybody wants to know. You know, here, you know, we don't care if it's controversial or not. We're just going to go out and do it. How did you like your first earthquake?
Oh, bro. Dude, that was a supernatural feeling for sure, man. I like the energy of the earthquake lets off, man. I woke up and I'm like, I just, like, woke up and my house was shaking, bro. And I'm like, I yelled at my daughter. I'm like, "Babe, are you shaking the house?" Because I was, like, half asleep. And then I was, she's like, "No." So my next thing is I'm thinking someone's breaking in my house. So I'm grabbing my I'm about to go in my room and grab my gun. And then the earthquake stopped. Then I was like, "Oh." And then that's when it kind of hit me what it was, bro. Yeah, crazy, man. That's what was trying to home invasion my ass, dude.
Oh, well, that's
my hair was a Richter. It was a 6 on a Richter scale down in Napa Valley or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good size. I remember my first earthquake. I was like in junior high school, and we were in the car, and we thought it was the car that was messing up. You know, my mom was like, "Oh, the car's gonna blow up! Are we getting out of the car?" And then we looked out the window, and everything was shaking. Like, "Uh oh."
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool though, man. It was definitely a cool experience. I mean, because you know, my house was on one piece, but I don't know how Napa got. I heard, you know, there was some damage in Napa though. So.
Cool, cool. Hey, well, you know what? Tell us about your last fight. You know, I was there. You know, I finally got to meet you and see you. And tell us about your last fight, how that went down.
Oh, yeah. I went out and I fought this guy, Jimmy Marquez, and I don't know. I was trying to put him away the whole fight, man. The kid just wouldn't quit, man. He just took a beating in the first round. I was real kind of pissed off because I didn't want to get out of the first round until I get to the bigger shows. But he got out the first round with me, man. And then second round, I come in there, but like I was also unaware that we were only doing 3-minute rounds. So I mean, I don't want to take anything from the guy, but I could have got him in the first round if we had him 2 more minutes. But that's not what happened. So we went in the second round, and in the first round, he tried kicking me, and he's actually the first guy that's ever tried to kick me. So I kind of knew he was gonna try to kick me because I watched his videos, and he kicks like every 30 seconds. We would count. Like, you know, and he would always throw a kick at least every 30 seconds, and it was always the same leg with the same kick. So, I mean, it, ironically, in the back, me and my brother and I, we were talking about that. We're like, yeah, just wait for the kick. Don't even swing. Just wait for the kick. And then, boom, it came right away. And, yeah, I took him down. And the dude was tough as shit. And then the second round, I came in, and I tried to hit him. And I missed, man. I wasn't calculating my distance right or something. And then he kind of stepped in and got taken down. And I finished him with the guillotine after some more ground and pound. The deep guillotine, man. Said that Team Alpha Male guillotine, bro.
Well, there you go right there.
Definitely improving my guillotine that I already had. But, yeah, for sure. Nice, dude.
So, would you say he's your toughest opponent to date?
Hell no, bro. My toughest opponent that I fought would it had to be Anthony Berchek, bro. It was probably my toughest fighter that I've ever fought. And, you know, my wife's pretty tough too, man. She would beat me up, dude. She would kick my ass. No, but yeah, Berchek or a Lux, man, for sure. One of the two. They both were tough as shit.
Dude, Freddie, God rest his soul, man, was a tough SOB, man.
Yeah, man, it's sorry to hear that what happened to him, man. I wish, you know, I don't know why people do things like that, but, you know, I wish you could have, you know, reached out to someone or, you know, I don't know, man.
Yeah, man,
I remember I talked to him after last time I talked to him. It was about, you know, the fact that I'd get my time with Moraga and that I need to just, you know, keep winning, do what I'm doing, and that, you know, that I just need to keep my head focused, bro. And he didn't seem like, you know, it was right after his first loss, or no, his second loss, where he got knocked out in Trilogy. And so I was just talking to him because I heard that he was going to quit. And we were talking on Facebook about that. And he decided he was just going into coaching. He was done fighting. And, yeah, I would just let him know that he's talented and he shouldn't quit just because one fight didn't go his way or two fights didn't go his way or whatever, you know. But he was done with fighting, man. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could see... you know, when a fighter can't fight anymore, I could see depression kicking in for sure, you know. So I don't know what else he was going through.
You know, I think that's to be said in any sport, because I know when I stopped playing football, I went through a depression, you know. And I don't think it's just all mental. I think it's chemical too, because, you know, you get used to the adrenaline spikes, and, you know, all of a sudden you don't have that anymore. You know, Saturday night comes around, and You know, you don't have any way to release all your tension and anger, and so it starts to get to you.
Yeah, man, for
sure. It happens
sure.
all the time.
I never saw, I tell you one thing, I didn't see any sign of it when we were talking. He seemed like the same old Freddy last time. And that was like, I think it was like 6 months before that happened.
You know, let's change gears here. You know, we talked to
sure.
Matt about it last time, about the head thing. You know what, Donald, let's get your view on Matt's head count.
On Matt's head count? Well, there's quite a few. I really couldn't, you probably have a full cosmetology lineup. You know, there's a lot of guys that have avoided him for the several reasons, and you know, we're just, you know, Matt and I have worked on a roadmap, and I think we're building it, and Matt's you know, behaving well, and Matt's doing the right things. you know, and
kind
you know,
of
I think we're gonna
well. Kind of.
Yeah, and we'll, and, you know, and I think that, you know, we've got the roadmap, and I think we've kind of already solidified it, and I think Matt knows exactly how it's going, and he sees everything flourishing, and he sees the things that are happening for him. So, you know, there's not really a super rush, but we know that Matt definitely should be in the UFC by now. There's three or four guys right now that are on the roster at 125 that Matt could beat or has beaten. So, you know, there's a lot of heads
Matt,
that are there.
Now, you know, being a manager and, you know, being in sports, you know, my whole life, you know, you always have that one guy who's very outspoken, and Matt is very outspoken. Is that a challenge being his manager? I mean, you know, is he your problem child? Because everybody's got one. I got one too. I mean, you know, you love them to death because they back it up. They're great guys, but you're like, oh man, please don't say anything. Please don't say anything.
Actually, Matt's really not a problem child. He actually, every time Matt and I's relationship, we talk all the time on the phone, and so we communicate really well.
My wife be getting jealous sometimes, dude.
Yeah,
dude. Calls me all that much, man. It's like, dude, come on, bro.
You know, honestly, you know, I try to take myself, like, you know, put myself, like, I love the movie Jerry Maguire, and I try to say that, like, I'm the Jerry Maguire of MMA. Like, I truly care about Matt. I care about, you know, his wife, you know, his family. And so we all, you know, I talked to his wife enough times, and we really try to make sure that we do the best interest for Matt and his family. So, you know, Matt's not really, he is very vocal, and there's times that, you know, he has to tone it down, but there's times that, dude, let it out, you know, call it as you see it. You know, I'm okay with that. So, you know, no, Matt's good.
Nice.
I pay him a lot of money to say that too, dude.
Oh,
so
man.
You know, I know that. Hopefully, you guys can. You know, Matt's leaving for Colorado. He's getting ready for trying for his third world gold medal in grappling, representing
fourth
USA.
Grappling.
So that,
or it's fourth in grappling. I've never gotten gold in
grappling.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was MMA.
MMA. So
yeah, sorry,
he's
man.
Going for another gold.
Yeah.
And when is this happening?
I'm leaving on Thursday.
Well, nice. I mean, you know, I'd say good luck, but I don't think you need luck. I mean, whoever
break
you're going
a leg.
Against, they're the ones that need luck.
Break a leg, dude.
Break a leg. Yeah.
Definitely break
now,
a leg.
You know, Donald, we were talking earlier about attitudes, perceptions of fighters outside the sport. Somebody like Matt, obviously very personable, performs well, carries himself very well. Is he somebody that's easy to present to a sponsor?
Matt is becoming that way.
We
I
just
won't say
fix
that he wasn't.
Face, dude. That's it.
You know, as he's matured quite a bit, and even within the last year, in my opinion. And Is he marketable? Yes. And I try to – I want to market him based on his – how good he is, you know, on his performance and how, you know, he can deliver a story. You know, his story is compelling, and at the end of the day, you know, I think Matt made a post the other day. Is like, why don't you cut your leg off and see if you can get to the spot that I'm at today, you know?
I did see that, and I got to say, I did.
You did.
Yeah, well, yeah, you did it. Yeah. Now if you can get to Legacy or UFC, then you know, or any
yeah,
of
don't,
them, any
the,
of the.
The only way I'm doing that is buying a ticket.
So yeah, you know, man. I think at the end of the day, Matt is very marketable, and I think. You know, he can flourish really well.
Yeah, these guys just got to start fighting, and which is going to be pretty – well, I look at this. I'm backing these guys in the corner. Eventually, they're not going to have anywhere to go. So they're going to have to fight me or publicly admit that they don't want to fight me.
Who's somebody out there that you would like to fight, or is it just like whoever they put in front
right
of
now,
you?
Right now, I would love to beat the shit out of Ryan Hollis, man. Or him and I have a similar record. I would love to tie his ass up in a knot, man. I would like to first show shit. I would eventually like to get to the Demacio Page, and eventually get to, you know, the end of the rainbow is Moraga and Henry Cejudo, man. And then obviously I'm going after Mighty Mouse next. But yeah, it's steps, dude. I'm just gonna, you know.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you don't hold your breath too long for Henry, because you know he's got a tough time.
Oh no, I won't.
Okay, because he's got a tough time making weight and fight.
Yeah, no, exactly. For sure. I just want to fight the best guys that are there, and I want to have fun doing it, man.
I got to tell you, you know, once again, I'm happy to have you back on the show. I know the fans are, you know, we're going to start to wrap this up. So I want to start with Donald. Any shout outs you want to give, any information for fans to follow you or your company on social media, please, whatever you got to say, run at it.
Absolutely. You can go to uselitecombat.com. If you're a fighter and you want to, you know, submit anything to us to see if for us to take a look at and just see if it's a fighter we want to represent. You can go to US League Combat Facebook as well, or Twitter. You know, I appreciate all the sponsors that take care of my fighters now, such as Arizona Cottons, Centerline Wraps, Masks on Mouth Guards, Diamond MMA, protecting my guys' jewels. Just, you know, and there's a ton more. Buffalo Wild Wings here in Arizona. But, you know, and I appreciate all my fighters. Every one of my fighters puts in the work, and my wife for putting up with my stuff, and, you know, my kids, you know. And that's pretty much it on my end.
Oh, well, thank you, Donald. What about you, Matt? Right now is your time. Go to shout out. Whoever you want to shout out, bro, you know, go for it.
All right, I want to thank my gym, Ultimate Fitness, Team Alpha Male over in Sacramento for, you know, getting me – helping me train and prep for all my fights and competitions. And I want to thank Limb Center and Randy West at Limb Center for making my prosthetic legs, and Ray Fikes for helping me out with other, you know, training, customizing my training gear, and let's see, was helping Eli, 50 Legs. I know I'm forgetting, like, all my sponsors, man. Dude,
Meineke.
Oh, yeah, Meineke. We got, so Donald took them all from me, man. That's bullshit. Yeah, it's just,
Bold Warrior.
Oh, and then Bold Warrior. We got, Mouth Guard. What's the Mouth Guard name, dude?
Mastodon,
yeah, that's right. They're one of my new sponsors. And my tattoo artist, Roger Carter, over at Classic Club Tattoo in Sacramento. So, I mean, those are pretty much my main sponsors right now.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for coming on. Donald, it was great having you on. And Matt, it's always great to have you on, bro. You know, you're always welcome anytime.
Thank you, man. It was an honor. I appreciate it, fellas.
And real quick, to let the viewers know, there's some big news coming. We're working a big contract. I can't really release any more details other than that. And, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you're able to release that, let's get you on the show so you can break it on our show.
Sounds good. That sounds good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and,
absolutely.
And Donald, if you wouldn't mind, I'll make sure that I get with you in the next 24 hours and get you my information. And any press releases you've got coming out about your fighters or events, get them to me. We'll post them on madhouse.com for you. No problem.
All right. That sounds awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
It's been
man.
An honor,
fellas. You guys.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Ray. And thank you guys for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for being on. You know, you guys have a good night.
All right, you too.
You too. Bye. Much love. Bye.
Ray, another killer show you lined up. Great guests. I really want to get Donald back on sometime just to kick back and talk more about the management side with you and him. And I think it'd be great.
You know what would be great? We bring him on next time, and we have it as a call-in show.
Yeah, let fans and fighters call in and ask questions about management, sponsorship deal, all that stuff. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, one of the questions I posed, which I think has become an epidemic in this sport, is people think that they can manage without having any background in the sport or having any legal background at all, and they're coming in and they're messing careers up because they can sell themselves to some kid coming up that they can handle it, and they can't. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a super manager. I don't have all the answers. I haven't been to the big show yet, but my guys know that we're working at it together. And, you know, just like Donald was saying about his fighters, my fighters are my family. You know, they're closer to me than, you know, my own blood family. So, you know, and that's the approach you have to do. I mean, yes, it's a business, but I got to take care of their careers like I'm taking care of my own.
I agree. 100%, man. And with that, man, I want to give a big shout out to our great sponsors who make sure this show goes off every week. That's Jax Media. You guys check them out at jaxmedia.ca. Takedown Grappleware. You guys can find them on Facebook, Twitter. They're everywhere. Get some. Also, the one and only MMAMadhouse.com. I definitely rate tonight or tomorrow. I'll shoot you my contact info so you can give it to Donald for me, because I'd love to get his press releases going, you know, for his fighters on our website, so, you know, fans have another place to find information.
Definitely. And, you know, real quick before we go, King of the Cage, August 30th at USAC County Royal Casino. Future Legends, Ty Bethley will be fighting on that card. If anybody needs tickets, hit me up on Facebook. We got tickets for sale. We're actually selling them for less than face value. If not, just get down there. The fight will be recorded for a future episode of MAV TV. So definitely get out there. I want to give a big shout out to Alan Jocelyn and Mike Lowe over at King of the Cage for making this happen. And we just can't wait to get back in that cage on Sunday. I mean, Saturday, my bad, Saturday.
Well, I tell you what, Mike Lowe does an amazing job. Love the guy. He's been on this show, folks, multiple times. And, Ty, go out there, get that victory. You've trained hard. Time to fight easy, buddy. And other than that, let's do it. Eagle!
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is